Wednesday afternoon, December 31st, 1980. Midwinter camp meeting being held like Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. This tape is with Frank Mendola. It is a deliverance tape.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
This is not clear as it should be, but it's beyond our control.
And we're going to be teaching on Break Those Curses, Part 2. Now, how many of you remember that? We discussed there was actually four types of curses. You remember that? Not just one. Remember, Webster's Dictionary didn't do it for us. It was nice. He gave us a little primer there, but I'm afraid good old Webster just didn't have it all together. And I want to tell you something. At the close of this service, I have a tape recorder sitting on the piano over there, and we're going to play a testimony of a pastor whom we visited while we were in Manitoba, Canada this summer. And you're going to hear how they had a curse right in their own home, and it had to do with an object. And we're going to get, a lot of people ask me about objects. Well, we're going to clean up this whole thing today, and we'll be finished. Okay, let's go over the types of curses, excuse me, which there can be. First, those by pronouncement or invocation. I think we talked about that enough yesterday. Two, those resulting from the law of sowing and reaping. That is, those resulting from a lack of following God's command. Amen? Three, those produced by objects. And four, those produced by out of balanced teachings. And that's the most subtle. Amen, folks. That is the most subtle. It's easy, relatively speaking, to identify a curse which comes with an object. But it is not so clear to identify a curse that comes from an out-of-balance teaching. And we're going to give some big examples. Now, I got to cover. We've got a whole lot to cover in about an hour and a half or so. But I strongly suggest you give me your undivided attention, because as of now, and I don't say this to lift myself up or wave a flag, but as of now, I have not come across any teachings like I'm giving you today. I've heard teachings on curses, but I've not heard it to the depth as the revelation that God has given me and my wife, and I praise Him for it. I praise Him for it because these are the teachings that we need now to break of our things of the past and go on with God. And if the prophecy was, be ready, and then the prophecy in the back or interpretation was to let's get delivered, I think those two go together. One is let's shed this and shed that and be ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Okay. Let's go on the second type of curse, and that we've identified as that curse, excuse me, resulting from the law of sowing and reaping. Now, we gave an example yesterday of Balaam, and we'll pick up with him. If you remember, Balaam was hired by Balak to go and face Israel and to pronounce, to invoke, to call upon a divine and supernatural power and place an evil curse over the children of Israel. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that story. What happened? Well, God decided He was going to give Balaam a little change in tongue. I don't know if he spoke in tongues, but certainly the word tells us that He blessed Israel. And Balak was rather perturbed and says, wait a minute. I hired you to curse them. What are you doing blessing my enemies? Well, praise God, an enemy to Balak. Well, it's pretty obvious that Balaam could not effect a curse on the children of Israel that way, not with pronouncement. So what did he do? He and Balak conspired to send the women of Moab in there so that fornication could be done with the princes and the hierarchy with the children of Israel. And then because of disobedience, what happened? A curse proceeded to come upon the camp in the form of sowing and reaping. Amen. So what couldn't be affected through a verbal pronouncement was affected through this type. Because Balaam knew that God was changing those words in his mouth. Well, he couldn't do it. But the sneak and subtle as he was, He had women go in there, they committed fornication, and then the curse came upon them. I might also add that Balaam sowed what he reaped, because he was eventually murdered, killed, when the children of Israel took the land. We gave some allusion yesterday that there was a curse that was breaking out and a plague that was breaking out right in the midst of the children of Israel, and Phinehas, son of Eleazar, had to take a spear in his hand and throw it right through a prince and the Moabitess woman as they lay together. And we think, is that the love of Jesus? Well, it may not be the mercy and love of God, but that's the judgment of God, friend. And it was that sole act. Listen to me. You can go and read it. It was that sole act that prevented the curse from spreading as much as it already did. Amen. Well, what other things, Brother Frank, do we get curses from not following God's command? Many people are not going to like this. If I read the word right, it says this. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord's response is, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9 says, well, I never saw this until God showed me curses. You are cursed with a curse. Oh, robbing God lately, folks? For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know what I love about Christian people? They love quoting the next verse of Scripture. Bring ye tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now with, and all this, etc., etc. But the very thing before is, if you don't do it, there's a curse. It's not that if I don't do it, the windows of heaven won't be opened, and therefore I won't get the blessing. Yeah, you won't get a blessing, but the point is, people's reasoning is, I won't get anything. Oh, you'll get something, you'll get a curse. That's what the word says. Well, Brother Frank, tithing is, we don't do it. That's under the law. Who told you it was under the law? Moses was in the loins of Abraham. When Abraham died, and Abraham was justified by faith, not according to the works of the law, you read Galatians. So if Abraham was saved by faith, and we're children and seeds of Abraham, and we're by faith, does the tithing come into play? Okay. We talked yesterday about Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And we said, as the children of Israel went through, Mount Gerizim was the Mount of Blessing, where some of the congregation was standing there and calling out all the blessings of the Lord. How many of you remember that? Three people. Wonderful. And on Mount Ebal was the Mount of Cursing. As the Israelites walked through the valley, remember two mountains, one on each side. The other part of the children of Israel would say the curses. And the Israelites said, amen. I'm not going to read the blessings today, because many of you have heard so much prosperity teaching that it would be foolish for me even to go into it. But it's time to balance that message, the Mount Gerizim message, with the Mount Ebal message. Because in Deuteronomy 28 is also the curses. And by the way, my first verse I read was Malachi 3. I think you recognize that. And I'm not going to read all the curses in the Deuteronomy 28, so I'm just going to read a few. I think you'll get the general idea. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, the first part of Deuteronomy 28 says there's blessings if you do hearken. The second part says there's curses if you do not hearken. Well, what are these curses? Cursed shall be thou, and in the field. Cursed shall be in the basket in thy store. That's where it hits your pocketbook. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. That's your health. And the fruit of thy land, and increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. That's prosperity. Or it's the lack of prosperity. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee. It didn't say Satan. It didn't say Lucifer. It didn't say demons. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed. Lord, is that you? And until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Whoops. Did you ever hear of cloven tongues of fire? You know what the cloven meant? It meant it clave to the head, or it was stuck on the head. Well, we say, praise God, the Holy Spirit stuck with me. Read this. Hello? It's mighty quiet out there today. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he has consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, fever, inflammation, extreme burning, the sword, blasting, mildew. The heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. You know what curse that is? Your prayers don't get answered, and your crops don't grow. Lord, is that you? And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now we could go on about the botch, the itch, madness, blindness, astonishment of heart. You remember read that in the other scripture? Men's hearts failing because of fear. Well, these are the curses. I guess what burns me the most is everybody wants the blessings of the Lord, but nobody wants to meet the conditions of the Lord. Amen, folks. These are the conditions. Don't give me the verbiage after the sermon. It's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 4, chapter 40 says, thou shalt keep, therefore, his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day. Stop right there. It says, thou shalt keep. So far, we have been describing sowing and reaping of ourselves. In other words, if there's a curse, it comes upon me. But my friend, it doesn't stop there. Because the next part of this scripture says that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee. And that thou mayest prolong the days upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. You know, I can't believe how selfish people are. If they don't follow God's commands, they say, well, I'll just reap that. No, you won't. Your children will. You say, why is that? Well, I didn't make the rules. God did. I'm just telling you what's fair. When Achan went with the children of Israel under the leadership of Joshua and they attacked Jericho, what was the Lord's command? He said, don't you pick up a garment. Don't you desire anything, because I'm going to wipe them off. I don't want you to go in there and take anything that's of the heathen. Did he not? What did Achan do? He desired a piece of clothing. You know who got punished for it? He did, his wife and his children. Amen. There's a Jewish, there's a girl here who's a completed Jew. And when she told me she was a completed Jew, I got the discernment very clearly that she had this curse. He said, what curse is that, Brother Frank? How many of you remember when the Jews put Jesus or wanted Jesus to die on the cross? And Pilate washed his hands of it and says, I don't want anything to do with it. The Jews said, let his blood be on us and our children. My God. Not only an evil curse, but also a curse of sowing and reaping. They both pronounced it, and then when they did it and was in actuality, the significance of that sin passed down. Sister, did you have that curse? Did you get free of it? Amen. The word of God is true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And when she told me that, I witnessed that very. I wonder what you got out there from the heritage of your forefathers. How many years ago was that? 2000? Approximately? She's still inheriting that curse? Woo! Give you something to think about. There's also a curse of idolatry. If anybody is an example of inheriting a curse, wasn't I? Do you remember the story I gave you? Between the terror spirit, the familiar spirit and paralysis? How many of you were here when I gave that? Okay, so you know that. I'm an example of that. Me. Because my parents and my forefathers bowed down to idols. In fact, we went, when we first got saved, we went back to New York and we stew it an inch. So Rosalie thought she'd be dusting in the bedroom, you know, making mess. You know how women do, right? Just cleaning up, you know. So she lifted up a favorite statue of my aunt. She found a dime underneath it. She said, what's 10 cents doing under there? I said, well, Catholicism, prayers are mighty cheap. Amen. They think that slipping 10 cents under a statue is going to make a good with God. Oh, what a lack of understanding of my God. Their God can answer a 10 cent prayer. But my God says that he looks upon the heart. I hope there's something more of worth in my heart than 10 cents. Okay. We have found out which is induced to the children from the parents due to the law of sowing and reaping and sometimes due to other curses. The demon in there will respond to the words generation curse. And it will come out. Just for the sake of how many people got free. When we called out generation curse the other night, how many people got free of that? Would you raise your hands real high? It's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And this could be anything. It could be passed down from the law of sowing and reaping. Or it could be induced through witchcraft. Now, witchcraft is an act of sin, but it happens to be disobedience to the law of God. So sowing and reaping has something to do with the act of sin also. Occult. Psychic. We went to Canada. We stood with a pastor. And the pastor says, Brother Frank, I think my wife's got a psychic spirit. Praise God, brother. Where'd she get that from? Oh, I feel she got that from her past. She did. Slipped down through her family line. It was a curse. Curse of mental illness. That certainly could be passed down. Now, that's not exactly of the law of sowing and reaping, although it could be the fruit of it. Rejection can be a curse. You have a command to love your children. Did you know that? Do you know when you don't love your children? It's a curse. And a curse of rejection will follow. I think most of you here, when we mentioned that a woman came to us and said she had rejection, and we witnessed, it was a curse. And we found that the mother tried to abort her own child as she carried it. And the curse entered the mother's womb and that child. It was 24 years later that that child, now a woman, eventually get free from it. We had other women who, once they found out they were pregnant, made up their minds they did not want that child. And by saying those words, by not following God's commands to love your children, those children brought a curse of rejection. And just before we came here, we had a mass deliverance of the children in our congregation, and at least one child had a curse of rejection from her mother's womb. Okay, also, I might add this. Spirits which appear as curses may not necessarily be curses. If you remember, we said that a curse could have a name of an individual in there. Well, it also could be under idolatry. I'm not talking about curses now. I'm talking if someone has a spirit, let's say a spirit of Elvis Presley. I'll give you an example of that. It's because idolatry was there and the curse came in, and rather the spirit came in according to the name of the individual he was worshiping. But we also found out that with curses, there's the name, or can be the name, of the individual there also. Like the curse of Francesca Camacho. Remember the Cuban lady that we mentioned? She had the exact name of that woman in her. This doesn't mean that the exact woman's spirit is floating around somewhere. No, it's a demonic spirit. I think you know that. If you have a spirit of curse, you have the spirit too. If you have a curse of rejection, you're bound to have the spirit of rejection. Remember that if you're performing deliverance on someone else. Don't get one and leave the other one in there. Okay. Now here's a favorite object you're going to do, and this comes under the subject of leaven hunts, which I've been billed for if you receive that little newspaper. And it has to do on, in fact, Irma just really got excited when I Because we're commanded to get the leaven out of our houses. You know why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And God, you know you're a lump. You're a lump. Some of us are a little lumpier than others. For regardless of what shape the lump is in and how it looks, we got to get the leaven out. Well, what kinds of objects, Brother Frank? Well, today I'm going to go into it. One, being an ex-Roman Catholic, statues. Statues. Get rid of them. I couldn't help when I read Like a Great, Mighty, Rushing Wind by Mel Tare on Indonesia. As he was going from one part to another, he came across a little village where the only church there was Roman Catholic. And he went in and said, these statues got to go. And the priest said, who are you? So he made a little bargain with the priest, just like Jesus made with Legion. If you come out, I'll send you to the pig. He says, if you put your statues and gather them and put them in the center of the floor, and we pray, if that's not of God, for God to in some way supernaturally destroy them, and he does, will you then believe that what I'm saying is of God? And the priest said, sure. Isn't it just like the Israelites of old when Elijah said, if Jehovah be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. But you know what the Israelites figured out? There's not going to be no fire. Well, that's what this priest thought. But unbeknownst to him, fire from heaven came through the ceiling of his church and demolished the idol. I think that settles it once and for all. We talked about Buddhas. And if you've got a Buddha, get rid of it. There's one thing that's good about Buddha. It reminds you to boot it out of your house. We had a case where an ex-lieutenant, retired lieutenant from the New York Police Department, came into this teaching and realized he had Buddhas, and he determined he was going to destroy it. But when he tried to crack that plaster of Paris Buddha, it would not break until he said, you will break in the name of Jesus, and then it shattered. What other kind of objects, Brother Frank? Ever been on a reservation? Ever say, gee, this looks real cute. I'll take it home. I better pray before you do. Because if it's in the face of a mask, an object, a totem pole, a picture, stay tuned, a picture, an Indian warrior with a spear in his hand. They had one case in Canada. They found out that was the representative of a witch doctor. Yep. And the kid had terrible problems at night. Dolls. Paul. I'll tell you something. I never thought there was anything wrong with dolls. And I'm not coming here to say all dolls are wrong, but I'll tell you something. You better be aware how many are. We went in Portage, and we did a leaven hunt. Everybody know what leaven hunt is? Somebody asks you to go in the house and search out the objects. That's all it is. And for us who are discerning, we do. And boy, I tell you, we met some dolls. Their eyes were just stare at you. My God, I got to bear witness on that, you know. And you want to know something? How many of you were here when Rosalie gave her testimony about the dime store? Raise your hand. Now listen to this. You know what we found out? A majority of dolls that we found out had the wrong anointing were bought at that store. Oh, boy. Isn't that something? Cuckoo clocks. I have never ran into this case, but I heard another preacher says that a young boy cannot get deliverance until they took their cuckoo clock off the wall because it was an unclean bird. Books. Edgar Casey, Gene Dixon, Ruth Montgomery, Taylor Caldwell, all basically into the witchcraft thing, automatic writing, familiar spirits, the whole thing. You remember me giving you an example that just with girly magazines in there, there were spirits that were tied to the legality so the person couldn't get free. We have one fellow raise his hand in Portage and said, Brother Frank, I've been reading through the nursery rhyme books of my child, and we don't think that some of those are right. And boy, the spirit quickly said, Brother, you got something there. You go home and destroy them. I didn't even know what nursery rhymes told him about, but the Holy Spirit quickened me, and I knew there was a truth there. And later I found out there was more than just truth. Jewelry, ladies. Men don't have to worry too much because men usually don't wear a lot of jewelry. But women, necklaces, ankhs, okay? Star of David, forget it. David had nothing to do with that star. The piercing of your ears is a symbol of bondage. My wife could not get free of certain demon spirits until she took off her pierced earrings. Incense is produced mainly by the Hare Krishna. Don't put it in your house. It'll bring a curse. We had a woman. I'll tell you, this really blew my mind. Our pastor was teaching on curses and everything, and some people were getting the witness on a cosmetic product. Well, I didn't think there was... I thought, boy, these people are going far out now. Until we met this one lady who went through her house, and God told her, clean up this cosmetic product you got. And the brother here mentioned it the other night. Avon. Did you see the advertisement? The hand coming from heaven to earth. And the label is casting its first spell on Christmas. Woo! That's like buy one, get one free, you know. Well, this woman was cleaning up these products, okay? And as she prayed, she couldn't break through. And then God quickened her to get rid of something else. And she was, well, she had all kinds of stuff. She had stuff you put on your hands, stuff you put on your face. I don't know what the women do today, but there's stuff for everything. Under your eyes, above your eyes, in between your eyes, all over your eyes, behind your ears. It's there, you know. So she tried praying, and God says, and then there was like her face was going like this. She's going back, and she couldn't pray. And then she thought, my Avon facial mask. And she went, she got that facial mask, and she got all the stuff, and she put them outside her trailer. As soon as she closed the door and knelt, she started coughing, and she got deliverance. Amen, folks. Beware of things given to you as gifts, wedding gifts, house gifts, things bought from Haiti, Jamaica, Africa, and India, especially.
Taiwan,
thank you, brother. And now Japan and Korea. It's spreading. Hong Kong, too, that's right. Okay. That's why we have to be all more that discerning. And I'll tell you something. I think it'd be very wise that if you're going to go buy something for your house, husbands, go with your wives. Sure.
Yeah.
Also, too, I saw an advertisement with one label. You know how the men's labels in the back here, where it talks about the size? I saw one label that said 666 on it. Don't know what that means just yet.
It's the common market
of Europe. Is that right?
Yeah, that was made in Europe.
Okay. Well, praise God. We're getting more teaching all the time. Okay. For your youngsters and oldsters, albums. Music albums, 8-tracks, cassettes. They're hard rock, and they got the bumpity-bump beat. Get rid of them. Burn them. Destroy them. Numbers 33, don't turn there, just listen. Verse 50, the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you've passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures. Destroy all their molten images and pluck down their high places. How many of you remember in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, where the Ark of the Covenant is lost to the Philistines? And as a result, they have to put the Ark in the temple of Dagon. Remember that? The next day they go out and all of a sudden, whoop, Dagon decided he couldn't stand up that night. Well, they just a coincidence. You know what I like about people? I say, when I pray, God hears me. And they say, that's just a coincidence. I say, well, maybe it is a coincidence. But you know something? The more I pray, the lot more coincidences I have. Hallelujah. Well, they put Dagon back on the shelf. The next day, Dagon's feet are cut off. Dagon's hands is cut off, and his head is cut off. And then, what happened is a disease broke out in that city, and we could go on how they passed it from one city to another. But I said all that just to say this. There was a brother we knew who lived near Clearwater, Florida, who bought a bongo drum in Haiti. He was saved, spirit-filled, so was his wife. One day they walk out to the living room, and Oh, look at those kids. They did it again. They're playing with the bongo drum. It's on the floor. Let's turn it back upright. Well, they turned it upright. Forgot about it. Next day, they go out and... Those kids again. Their bongo drum's on the floor. Well, let's pick up the bongo drum. Well, guess what? The kids didn't play with it. God was trying to tell them something. And they got rid of it. We had a woman who got saved miraculously and needed a lot of deliverance. She was an average sinner and decided she'd go to a flea market until she found a Buddha she would like to put on top of her TV. One curse on top of another. You're kind of slow on that one, folks. Within 30 days, she had bought astrological charts. She read her horoscopes. She started delving in witchcraft and the occult. She bought glasses with emblems of frogs, owls, snakes, dragons on them. And within 30 days, she was at the verge where she couldn't cope. Her mind was bound. She couldn't do her work anymore. And when she went to the doctor, his only recommendation was, we'll have to institutionalize you. I kid you not. Thank God that he led some spirit-filled Christians in there that got her saved, filled with the Spirit. And they went in her house and loaded the trunk of their car with a lot of contraband from what was inside her house. I had a Roman Catholic fella come up to me. He said, you'll never guess what happened to me at my wedding. For those of you who receive wedding gifts, you better listen. Now, this is pretty straightforward because most of us know it. But someone come over and put rosary beads in my hand and said, congratulations, Frank. He went, man, there's something evil in this hand. Rosary beads? Wow. Well, he took them home, forgot about it for a while. Then every time he walked in the room where he had them hung up, he told his wife, he wasn't even saved, by the way. He said, hey, honey, there's something wrong with those beads. He says, Frank, it's a wedding gift. He said, I don't care, I'm going to throw them out. He threw them out. Years later, when he got saved, he asked the spirit-filled Christian that led him to the Lord, or that was instrument in witnessing to him, he told him about this incident. He says, well, Frank, can I tell you something? Do you know where a majority of the rosary beads are made by the Roman Catholic Church? He said, no. He said, Haiti? If you have objects in your house that have the wrong anointing, we have found that by and large, that the poltergeist manifestations are usually due to objects. You say, what's a poltergeist manifestation? It's where you have the loud knocking, things running up the stairs, doors slamming, noises, floating heads. We dealt with two people have floating heads come through. Well, praise God, you know. What's a floating head? How'd you get here? Well, we don't want you. Now, true, if that house was occupied by a spiritualist, a medium, a witch, they could leave the wrong anointing there. But praise God, folks, if you go out and buy the wrong thing, you can invite your own wrong anointing. All right, we used the example of the fellow who had demon spirits, a spirit of voodoo, because he was listening to rock music, Casey and the Sunshine Band. We went through his house and we found contraband there too. We had another people who invited us over our house, their house, and they said they could not pray, they couldn't speak in tongues when they're praying in their bedroom. And I kept counseling this guy. And finally, one day, as he knelt, he looked across the room, and there was an owl staring at him. If you got owls or frogs, get rid of them. You say, why? What's the big thing with owls and frogs? Well, I'm not going to have time to turn there, but you can copy down the scriptures. Isaiah 13, verses 19 through 22, and Isaiah 34, verses 9 through 17, say that when God destroys a land, that it's inhabited by frogs and owls, and that it's a curse. When he curses the land, these things come in and take up residence. But you know us? We don't wait for God to curse the land. We go out and buy and bring the curse inside. We had an elder in our church who had a record of a woman who came from South America that could sing beautifully. And she could sing octaves. I forget her name. He mentioned his name several times. I forgot. But when he found out that she was singing and the songs were attributed to the monkey gods and the gods of South America, he had to break the shatter the record. We found that objects very easily carry curses, even on things you wouldn't even describe. Rings? The pastor's wife that we ministered in Portage, she came to Florida, and her brother just had a divorce. And the wife handed back the wedding ring and said, "Here's your wedding ring back. I hope the person you give to it dies." She didn't know that curse was on it. And she, I'll tell you something, she, as far as I know, live in divine health. And when she bought that ring, we got a call, 1 o'clock in the morning, long distance, from Portage La Prairie, Manitoba, Canada. "What's the problem?" "You're not going to believe this, Frank. Pat is ill, very ill. In fact, we did all we know how to do, and if that failed, we have to take it to the doctor." And I know they don't believe that much in quote-unquote doctors. And then they found out this curse was on the ring. They broke the curse. They prayed over her. She was healed. Frogs. What's wrong with frogs? Well, 3 verses of scripture I'll give to you. You can sit on it. Exodus 8, chapter 2, "I will smite thy borders with frogs." Revelation 16, 13, "And I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast." Okay? I guess the most hair-raising experience, and I do mean hair-raising for the little that I got up here, that my wife and I ever experienced was in Manitoba, Canada. And I want every eye on me, and I don't want you to miss this. We were called at 12 o'clock midnight to drive 13 miles away to the superintendent of the Sunday school of the church we were working with while we were there. And we went, we knew it was of the Lord, we had a quickening that it was of the Lord, because sometimes these things are wild goose chase. So we went there, and they had already destroyed certain objects. And I'm going to show you what happened. We came in the door this way, make believe on the left, where I'm standing, your right. And we walked in, and make believe the aisle down the auditorium here was the aisle to their living room. Right next to that, there was a staircase going down, and there was a picture above the staircase. I ignored the picture. I went into their living room, and I was trying to discern what was wrong. And I was just looking. I couldn't find anything. And then one person says, "Well, what do you think of this picture?" And I walked over to the staircase. I went to the cellar, and I looked. I said, "Wait a minute. What kind of picture is that?" An Indian woman holding her son, a bongo drum. I looked in the kid's eyes. Oh, and I looked in his eyes. I said, "There's something wrong with that picture." And the wife of the fellow says, what's wrong? I said, my spirit just says there's something wrong with that picture. She said, "That's funny you mentioned that. Because we bought that in a reservation. And when I showed my Christian mom this picture, later on I found out that she said, when you showed me that picture, I almost screamed. And yet I could not tell what was in the picture." I said, "Get rid of it." Took it down. I tell you, there's one thing, you got to be obedient to the man of God. They took it down outside the house. And as I'm looking there, and you listen to this, this never happened in my life. I hope it never happens again. Where the piano is, and approximately where Glenn is sitting over there, these people already went to their china cabinet and cleaned out some stuff. And someone said, "Brother Frank, come over here. There's some interesting stuff on the dining room table." So I walked over, and they believe the dining room table is now in front of me. And the thing that immediately caught my eye was a 3 owl set. In the big owl, there was the stomach clock, like you've probably seen. And unbeknownst to me, there was a candy tray in front of me, made of Pyrex or something like that. Well, the first thing that got my attention was this owl thing, because owls, you know, owls, I was really, oh, watch for the owls, you know, so I did. And I was looking at the owls, and I was looking at it, and I didn't discern anything. And all of a sudden, my left hand started going numb. My fingertips, I lost the sensation. Then it traveled up my hand and my wrist and my arm. I went, "Pastor," I said, "something peculiar is happening. My hand is growing numb." I can't feel anything in my head. And when I looked, my hand was next to an object. A candy tray. And the candy tray, seemingly innocent, was slightly dished. And on the border, on the outside of the candy tray, was the face and outline of an owl. But there was an orange color to the dish of the candy tray. And I said, wait a minute. There's a face in that picture. And the pastor's wife looked, and she took about 10 feet back. And what it was, the orange was the flames of hell. And amidst the flames was the smeared face. And it looked like that wolf fox picture, if you've ever seen it. And his eyes were just peering through the flames. Well, I'll tell you, it didn't take long for the owner to open his house, take that thing, and give it a fling. But you know what's even scarier? And know how I know now in my mind what my spirit felt? We started doing 11 hunt on their books. And there was a book warning people about the Jonestown Massacre. And the fella, the artist, who painted the cover of the book, wanted to bring forth the message that Jim Jones was Satan-inspired. So he had Jim Jones standing at a pulpit, much like the one I'm standing at right now, and to his left and over him was the flames of hell, and through the flames was the smeared look and face. Now, I know why the artist put that on the book, to convey to the people who buy the book who influenced Jim Jones. But may I ask you, who is putting it on candy trays? For you to buy and put them in your house? You know where that thing was bought? At the same store that Rosalie went in and cursed the curse of witchcraft. I'll tell you, people, we're fighting a warfare. And unless we have our radio receivers of the Holy Spirit in tune, we ain't going to overcome. There was a woman who heard this message, who decided to perform 11 hunt on her books that she had stored in her basement. And know what she found? A book in her basement. And know what she found? A book called In Search for Bridie Murphy, a book on reincarnation. What do you do with these things, Brother Frank, when you find them? Well, can I tell you what I would do with them? Since we're going to wood-burning furnaces, praise God, let some good out of it. Let's put some heat in the house and throw these things in the furnace or in a fire and destroy them. In a minute, you're going to hear testimonies of pastor, and you're going to see what he had to go through. He didn't buy all this object stuff. Well, God changed his mind mighty quick. Okay, we got to move on. The last phase of curses, those produced by out-of-balance teachings. Now, God really had to do a number on me on this here. Before I get to that, though, I just think that God has in the Bible, and can I say it? He's got an object lesson on objects. And you know what the lesson is? I'll just read this real quick, because we've got to move on. Do you remember when the fiery serpents came to bite the children of Israel? And they were dying? What did God tell Moses? Make a serpent, a brazen serpent, and hold it up, and all the people have to do is look at it, and they'll be healed from the bite of the fiery serpent. How many remember? We all remember that story. Okay. Well, I'd like to read something several hundred years later. Now, it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name, oh, that's not important. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David did. Now listen to this. And he removed the high places, and break the images, and cut down the groves, and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it. The thing that was the blessing, misused, now it's broken. I think that's the best object lesson in the whole Bible on objects. Okay, let's move on to out of bounds teaching. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. And if you can, well, this is not real important. We quoted the other day, but you should remember this. Proverbs 11:1 says, don't turn in, you just listen. It says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. You can find that in Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When we preached that the other day, we talked about personality and how personality spirits can come in to set you out of kilter. When one goes down, the other goes up, right? We talked about that. Now we're going to use that same scripture with a different application. When I saw this, and I heard the word abomination, I said, geez, I wonder if God's telling me something about teachings. Right? But now, that one scripture means only one thing, but has many applications. Right? What about our balanced teachings? What about when the scales are tilted? And you only hear one thing. Is that a balanced scale? No. Well, I said to myself, I wonder if an abomination is a curse. Okay? Well, so I substituted the word curse in there, and it says, a false balance is a curse to the Lord. I said, no, that's not right. But the Lord said, spoke to me, said, read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25 and 26. So I did. The graven images of that God shall ye burn with fire. Here's what you do with them. Thou shalt not desire the silver, nor the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. And here's this word again. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Okay. Verse 26. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house. Here's the word again. Abomination. Lest thou be a cursed thing like it. And God said, the things that are a curse to his people are an abomination to him. Did you get that? The things that are a curse to his people are an abomination unto him. Well, wait a minute. If the things that are abomination to him are a curse to his people, then what about out of balance teachings? If a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, we're now going to give you a example. How many of you believe that the children of God are entitled to prosperity? Raise your hand. I believe it. Do you want me to tell you how God prospered me? Many ways. The times I needed a car. In fact, I remember one Easter, he says, we want a Toyota Celica. That's what I want. I want this color. I want this. I want that. And God, I can't go into it, but God led me to the one guy who was selling it for $400 less than what I could have bought. That's what I call prosperity. I remember when Rosalie and I were praying for a swimming pool. I said, swimming pool? Wait a minute. I don't like swimming pools. Well, first of all, God's not going to give us that. The starving people in Africa, the hungry people in Biafra, and don't be silly. Swimming pools, well, that's not of the Lord. God couldn't promise. God couldn't possibly bless us with a swimming pool. And I said, just to be sure, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask a word of the Lord to me. Just in case you get it, and I can't trust you. Wasn't I showing my ignorance? So I prayed, and the Lord said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Lord, is that you? And you know something? He didn't give us the economy job, nor the mill job, but he gave us the Grand Prix job. And I'll tell you something, it's beautiful, it was blessed by the Lord, and he made it a way that we could pay cash. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God still owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You know, it was real funny what he told me. He says, Frank, I hear your prayer about the starving people, but I'm big enough that I still can give you your wants and still take care of the starving people. Do you believe me? Yes, Lord. Anyway, we ran to another pastor or a teacher in the Pentecostal circles who bought property that the day before they wanted $225,000. And God told them to go on this day and this hour to the realtor, and he offered $75,000. And the realtor said, What? Get out of here. Don't waste my time. And he should have known what this preacher did. He already went to the property with the for sale sign on. He says, who put a for sale sign on my property? Can you imagine the faith? He took it up and says, I'm buying this property. No one's going to sell it. It's mine. Well, God spoke it to him. He got the rhema from God. Don't do that unless you got a rhema, please. Amen. So he went to the realtor. He says, I want to buy that property for $75,000. He said, please, you can't do it. We had somebody here for $225,000. They tried to Jew us down and all this. No, we can't sell it. He says, you give me the names of those people. Oh, he said, well, it's owned by a corporation. Give me the names. At that moment, the board of directors for that corporation was meeting. At that moment, they were considering writing this property off as a tax loss. This guy calls up, says, I'll offer you $75,000, and they said, we'll take it. Glory to God. The Bible says that the heathen's riches are stored up for us. Hallelujah! How could you not believe in prosperity? Of course! But, let's balance this thing out, folks. God blessed Abraham. God blessed David. God blessed Solomon. And we're children of Abraham, and David's in our lineage, and we can go through the whole thing. But if the message is only prosperity, we have out of balance teaching. You say, prove it, brother friend. Oh, I'm glad you told me that, because I'm going to. I read the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus and the rich man. I don't know what your Bible says in Luke 16, but mine says that the rich man went to hell. Whoops. Well, that's one scripture. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be confirmed. That's right. So I'll give you another one. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? First, Jesus said, keep the commandments. I said, oh, I've done that already. Okay. Jesus says, if you wish to be perfect, glory to God. God's calling some people here to be perfect. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. You know what this story tells me about a rich, young ruler? That it was his father's wealth. And he rather would keep his father's wealth and not follow his heavenly father. I call that a curse. Because if he's not going to follow the ways of the Lord because his money is in the way and then winds up as the rich man in Luke 16, is spending hell and eternity a blessing? No. And what about the prodigal son? His father was wealthy. But you know, he had to experience the blessing of poverty in somebody else's pig pen to realize he needs to go back to his father's house. All scriptures contradict prosperity. No, they just bring it and swing it into balance. And that's why prosperity for you might be cursing for you. Ever try to stay on a diet of prosperity? Prosperity? Prosperity and never get anything else, you'll dry up. And this helped me explain why my wife and I went to several churches, and every church we go to one. What are you preaching, brother? Oh, we're preaching victory, 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 Sunday, victory, Wednesday, victory, Sunday, victory. I'll tell you something. After a year of that, you've heard enough of that to last you a lifetime. All right, we'll stop going there. We'll go somewhere else. What are you preaching, brother? Faith and confession. Faith and confession. Faith and confession. After a year of that, you had us. And when we came out, my wife needed deliverance. You hear me? Deliverance. That's why when people tell me, Brother Fike, I'm saved, what church shall I go to? And I say, God, help me. As far as prosperity, I'd like to just sum this up here and say that the heart of the message of our prosperity, I feel, and you can weigh this, is given in this scripture, and when I read it, boy, my spirit just went, yup, that's the balanced scripture. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Oh, hallelujah. You can find that in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. I like what one preacher said. Well, what about Philippians 4:19, preacher? God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And the brother responded, says, yes, God will supply all my needs, but not all my greed. I'll tell you, this thing about churches and out-of-balance teaching, that bugged me. Because I knew before I got this revelation I was seeing something. But I didn't know. I didn't know how to quantify it. I didn't know how to tell others without them saying you're a heretic. I battled with this thing, people. I would not preach it to you unless I had a confirmation from the Lord. And I want to tell you something. The last person in the world I thought was going to give me a confirmation was a preacher who came to our church to preach. And what he said stuck in me and gave me such confirmation that I knew I was hearing, thus saith the Lord. We were in the church. We got faith and confession. Faith and confession. Went over that. The preacher comes in. He's preaching the fivefold ministry. Glory to God. Never heard that before. Like I said last time, what we need more today is fivefold ministers with fourfold ministry. Hallelujah. And he said these words. You have to let your pastor go. Strange words. And you have to let him go and be the evangelist that he wants to be. Strange words. Because if you're tight with him and you don't allow him to go and he stays here, the bread he's feeding you will rot in the bread box, and his teachings, instead of becoming a blessing, will become a curse. And I said, thank you, Jesus, because he was perceiving the same thing that I was. I don't even know if he knew what he said, but I did. Let me tell you another message that can get out of balance. And by the way, all messages can get out of balance. I can't go into it, all the messages are out of balance, but I give you a few where you've walked in and you know enough and you can relate to. Healing. Oh, Brother Frank, healing can never get out of balance. You're rolling that one. Stay tuned. We've been to this church. Faith, confession. Faith, confession. Thank God. I remember one time, you're going to laugh. Go ahead and laugh. I don't care. You're going to laugh. I think it's funny. I think it was so funny at the time. I'm an elder. I have a sore throat. This is what I did. James chapter 5 tells me this. If I go before the elders and I call them to pray over me, they anoint me with oil. Number one, I get healed. Number two, my sins forgiven. Right? I mean, how simple is that? So here's what I did. I went up to the altar. I said, brethren, I have a sore throat and being attacked. I'd like you to anoint me with oil. I'll submit to you. You pray for me that God will heal me. Sure, brother. Kneel. Okay. Just as I'm about to kneel, what I like to label these people, super Christian comes up to me. You ever hear super Christian? Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to cast out a demon at a single word. Super Christian. He's got the big SC tattooed on his chest, you know? Comes to me. Just a minute, Brother Frank. What? That's a bad confession. What's a bad confession? You said you're sick. You're not. I'm not sick? Nope. I said, how did you know? Well, it's a bad confession. I said, well, brother, if I have a bad confession, then so does Brother James. Because James says that I can come before the elders, those who are sick. And I am sick, and I want to get healed. What is wrong with confessing that word? So I kneel. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, you're going to heal me. Hallelujah. And just as the elders were going to lay their hands on me, just as I feel the Spirit moving, here comes Super Christian, who moves over to me, steps to everybody's side, and lays his hands on my head. And he's squeezing so hard, I thought my 7 1/4 brain would go down to a size 5. I command that demon of unbelief to come out in Jesus' name. Kneeling there. That's it. I get up. I don't know. I said, okay, Buster, let me tell you something right now. You don't pray for anybody. You sit on the first row and you'll be a good little boy. I don't want you anointing your hands with oil. I don't want you to do anything. You just sit. That was it. I want to tell you something else. Another elder had caught Super Christian putting his hands on parts of women's bodies that he shouldn't have been doing. Super Christian had some problems. He is now out of the faith. But you know what was the problem? Here was the word coming from the pulpit. The word says you're healed. Therefore, if you say you're sick, and the word says you're healed, someone has lied. Do you believe that? I had people. I was an elder. I had to pray for sick people. Do you know what their confession was? I want you to pray for me. Okay. What's your problem? I can't confess it. What? Then how do I know what to pray for? God help me. I want to pray for this individual, but he refuses to tell me what's wrong. Do you know, in the sermon that came forth that night, one person comes forward and says, boy, do I have a headache. Oh. I said, I know, it's a spirit of oppression. I prayed for him, I grouped it, and it's gone. What'd you do? I said, I just cast out oppression. Oh, beautiful. I don't feel well, thank you, brother. Gave me a nice hug. Oh, I knew he was a nice, very nice Christian. He sat down. The next person comes up and says, boy, I don't know what's wrong with me, Brother Frank, but I felt good coming in here, and certainly before the message, I felt good. Oh, then God showed me what was happening. They had bought a spirit of oppression induced by the message. Hello, folks. I prayed for this guy for a spirit of oppression. He went, it's gone. I said, brother, before you go, pray for me. I got one, too. And isn't this reminiscent of Proverbs 15:4? A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Ooh, isn't that interesting? Well, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Jerry Hardy, who's the pastor of a church called The Gathering Place in Portage La Prairie, Manitoba, Canada. And I hope that it comes out. You need to be quiet to hear it, because I don't know how the reproduction is going to be, but here it goes. So just stay tuned. Okay, Pastor Hardy, you've got it.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
This was an amazement to me. Like I said, we ministered together with Frank and Rosalie in Florida, and we had some really interesting and enlightening sessions, shall we say. But when Frank and Rosalie came to the house, we were sitting at the kitchen table talking, and we had a picture on the wall. What would seem to be a harmless, maybe even a pretty picture. And that's exactly what Frank said happened. He just glanced over at that picture, and all of a sudden he felt bad vibes from that picture. And he mentioned to me, he says, Jerry, there's something about that picture. I said, that picture? A picture of the Lord? He said, yeah. I said, okay. Thanks, Frank. And I kind of put it in the back of my mind. This is, I think that was the first day he was here. The very first day, sat down at the table and sort of looked at the picture. And this picture was the common picture that you see everywhere of the Lord looking up. You know, supposedly the Lord, we don't know what the Lord looks like. But it was a picture supposed to be the Lord and he's looking up toward heaven. Now I say that there was nothing wrong with that picture, basically. But we were praying for our daughter in the house Saturday. And while we were praying, I just happened to look over at that wall, and I looked at that picture, and I got cold chills all the way down my arm. And that hasn't happened in a long, long time. And all of a sudden, a fear came over me. And I thought, well, my goodness, that's just a picture. And I kind of put that aside. I didn't say anything right away, but I knew what happened. It was very real what happened. We went to bed that night, and we went to bed late. It was, I think, 2:30 in the morning. And the Lord began to reveal and bring these things back to my memory. And when he did, here come the cold chills again down my arm. Cold chills. It's not like, you know, the presence of the Lord when you just, you know, flooded with the presence of the Lord. It was a different kind of flooding. And I said, my goodness, this is really true. And I got up, and I still don't know what it was. Perhaps it was a curse put on the thing from where they made it, or whatever. I don't really know. But I didn't care. I took the picture. We've had it since we've been saved. We've been carrying it on, hung it out in every house we had. Nice looking picture. But I took that picture off the wall, 2:30 in the morning, and took it out to the can, flame and all, started a fire and threw that picture in the fire, and got rid of something. I don't know yet what it is. I'm praying that the Lord will reveal to me what it was, because I would really like to know, just for my own information, for future use, possibly.
Tell what it felt like when you were taking it down.
Yeah, when I took the thing down, I couldn't wait to get it out of there. I really couldn't. And I was never superstitious or anything else. But I know when the Lord is speaking to me, and I know when there's another presence there that shouldn't be there. I'm not trying to scare anybody either. You know, if you've been a Christian for a while, that there's a difference between the presence of the Lord and certain other presences. And I took the thing down, and I started off to the back with it. And I just felt that picture was crying. Something in that picture was crying. Because it was going to be destroyed. And it was destroyed. And whatever resided in that picture, or on that picture, or whatever the case is, was destroyed. The picture was destroyed and it had no place to reside. And I know that I got something out of my house that didn't belong to me.
Amen.
And I'm praising the Lord for it. I still don't know what it is, but I praise God that we can be sensitive to what the Spirit's saying. Now, I'm not saying all pictures, especially pictures of the Lord, are evil or anything else. We have three or four more in our living room. Different ones. The Lord standing by the United Nations building, and one with the Lord on, with a little child on his knee. And I don't sense anything wrong with those pictures. But I wasn't about to take a chance of leaving that picture there when the Lord had revealed to me that there was something wrong. I don't know where it came from. I'm not sure if we bought it or somebody gave it to us. But regardless, I believe that our home is free of something that didn't belong here. And I thank God for it.
Let me add a little bit of revelation to that, in case you think that seems strange about a picture of the Lord. It does sound strange when you first hear it. But you know, Florida is one town that's occupied totally by witches. I kid you not. The town is occupied by witches and warlocks. Sounds strange, but I tell you, I can give you a newspaper clipping of an article that was done on it. And they took a picture of their meeting place
And the picture of the Lord, now you hear me, the picture of the Lord that resided in their meeting hall stood right behind the pulpit, and it was the identical picture that was destroyed.
I remember that quite well, because I was in my pajamas 2:30 in the morning and had to wear my bright red robe to go out to his burn can to burn that picture. But we do have that city in Florida, and I remember that that was the picture that was behind their pulpit. Have we been taken captive by our ignorance or what? Okay. Go ahead, right ahead.
Go ahead.
Pictures that come in from the Orient are dedicated to Oriental gods, and they generally have on the back of them, if you pull the papers off, the paper off the back of them, you'll find a prayer back there in whatever language, Korean, Japanese, whatever language, Korean or Chinese, that to a heathen god on the backs of these pictures. Also, these serving trays that come in from Taiwan, those places, on the backs of them sometimes there's something back there. But these things are dedicated to heathen gods. So if you've got them in your house, you'll find a strange feeling when you go around them, when you come to the knowledge of it. Also, almost everything that the Indians make are dedicated to Indian gods. And especially in their paintings and in the weaving of the blankets and these things, they leave a trail. In some place, they'll leave a little opening so the gods can get in and out of those things. And if you have any of those in your house, you need to pray over them, anoint them with oil. We know of instance of a Ouija board that was stowed in the fireplace. And when it was stowed in the fireplace, it cried and cried while it was burning. And other things, when they throw it in the fireplace, that fire came spit out of the fire at you, just like somebody threw it at you. And also Indian jewelry. Indian jewelry is all dedicated to Indian gods if it's made by the Indians. Jay, he makes some of it, but that's not dedicated to any god except the Lord, so his is a little different. But if you buy it through the regular jewelry stores that comes, I would advise you not to buy it, if you have any of it, to get rid of it.
Rosa? Blue. In just a minute, my wife is going to go and get that picture, and we'll show you the exact picture it is, because this brother right here, raise your hand, brother, had that picture in his pocket, and I said, don't throw it away just yet, because I want to show the congregation tomorrow night the exact picture it is. Okay. Praise God. Okay, this is the last day that I'm... Go ahead, brother.
There's something in the scriptures, and I have no exact understanding of it yet, but it's in the scripture. And it says, thou shalt make no graven image or have any graven image before you. Now, as to how far we can carry that without being, off the deep end, I don't know. Yeah, legalistic, I don't know. But I have a strange feeling that this applies to the picture of Jesus. And I'm going to leave that with you. I cannot see taking pictures of our families. Again, that's a kind of a form of a graven image, but I'm not that fanatic about it yet in that way. I don't say that, but there's a scripture that can back it up if you wanted to use it to that extreme, you know.
We quoted the one before where God sent the Israelites in and told them to destroy pictures. It's the first thing he told them to destroy. Pictures and molten images. So we have the word pictures way back in the book of Numbers. Okay, now it's true. Don't get on the fanatic end of the thing. You know, you can do that too. You just have to be discerning and hear the voice of God in every specific instance. And I'm certainly not teaching fanaticism. What I'm trying to be teaching you is how to be discerning the Lord's Spirit. Okay? All right. I think all of you got that. All right, this is the last deliverance service that we're going to be having here today. And I have... What we see on the board is what people have told me is binding them, and a few people still are bound by curses. So We're going to proceed, and I'd like Brother Stone, Brother Shockley, and other people that are appointed by Glenn and myself to help. I appreciate you men helping out. I really need help, and I should appreciate my wife, who's always here. So just stay open. If I don't get to the one that you think is on the border that I call, and it's, you see it's sort of closing down, come forward, tell me what you got, and we'll have someone pray for you. Okay? All right. Is there anybody here who still feels that they're bound with any type of curse before we go on? Please raise your hand. Okay? Just a minute, sister. All right, Rosalie was good enough to go back upstairs and bring the picture that we destroyed in Portage La Prairie, and it's this one. Got one in your Bible, brother? Amen. Yeah, I know. Our pastor, Brother Victor, he went to preach in Georgia, and they had a picture similar to this or this one right behind the pulpit. And when he preached on graven images and pictures, the pastor got the message, and he burned it. Yeah, this is the famous one that you see. Yeah. Sure, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just pass it through so you all can see it. Yeah. I don't have time to look at everybody's picture. You know, what I'm trying to teach you is be discerning yourself and pray over things. Yeah, Beverly. I don't know, but we're certainly going to break that. Done. What do you got? It's the safest way is to burn it. Someone else may pick it up and they'll get the curse in their house. Another question, brother. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good, brother, because that's where I feel a lot of pictures have their wrong anointing in the eyes. Yeah, well, you may have to do a lot of explaining and other things. Praise God. Okay. Praise God. Any other questions before we begin deliverance? Raise your hand now. Forever hold your peace. Okay. For those people who raise their hands on curses, raise them again, please. Okay. Let's deal over here. If you can put your hands down. Okay, sister, what do you think you've done? Is it a curse, though, or is it just a spirit? Did your mother, father, anybody in your family line have that? Huh? Then it could be a curse. Okay. Sister? Bleeding sores. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Well, is it still bothering you? Okay, I think that's a curse, yeah. Okay, I think that's a curse. Okay. Yes, brother? Okay. Yes, Alton. Yeah, marriage. Okay, brother, thank you. Who else over here had their hand? Yes, Ann. Okay, very good. Curses, so you're weeping, all right? I got it, brother. It's okay. Go ahead, Gordon. It's a curse. Is it around your family? Okay, it's a curse. Okay, we seem to have curses of infirmity of some sort. Yeah. Okay, hold just a minute. Go ahead, Mary. There could be. Yeah, that could be. No, there could be a curse. If your parents are into something. Okay, go ahead, sister. Okay. Yeah. Sister, yes. Niece, no. Rosalie, you want to go to the blackboard, erase the back side of it, and write these down, because I'm going to forget them. Depends. Is she Christian? Does she believe in deliverance? See what I mean? Go ahead, Niner. Rebellious? Mental illness? That is definitely a curse. Okay, Rosalie, erase about half of that board and write the following curses down, because I won't be able to remember all these. Got a piece of chalk? Okay. Write a curse of bleeding sores. Curse of swelling.
Curse of hoops, but plan, bleeding sores, swelling, masonry, divorce, poverty, sowing and reaping, mental illness, Indian heritage, doctrinal error, potions and magic.
And spells, that's good. Yeah. Psoriasis and false teaching, yeah. I think false teaching would be a curse of doctrinal error. If you've been into a church, you know, like myself, you may, what is idols and stuff, you got a curse of idolatry. Okay. Let's see what you got on the board first, and we'll go with that. Okay. Come against the curse of masonry in Jesus' name. Curse of masonry, turn them loose. Out. Get out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of masonry, turn them loose. Masonry, out. Curse of masonry, out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Curse of masonry, out. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of masonry. Curse of the Masonic order, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Yes, you can. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of masonry. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of Freemasonry. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Curse of the Masonic order. Out in Jesus' name. We cut your cords from the land of the living. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. Curse of the Masonic order. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Get out. 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 All your roots, all your curses, out. All your curses of the Masonic order, out. In Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Loose them and let them go. Out. Get out. Turn them loose. Loose them and let them go, in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Curse of the Masonic order. Out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of the Masonic order. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Brother Stone, Brother Shockley, I'm going to need you over here. I can't spend the rest of the evening here. He's got a big one on the curse of the Masonic order. You need to really give him a Hatzel Sarah on this one. He's a voice of authority. He's got a big tie there. Curse of KKK, out in Jesus' name. Curse of the Ku Klux Klan, out in Jesus' name. Turn God's people loose in Jesus' name. Curse of the KKK, out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Loose her. Loose her and let her go. Loose Mary and let her go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of bleeding sores. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of bleeding sores. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Curse of bleeding sores. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Turn God's people loose in Jesus' name. What else you got up there, Rosa? Swelling? Curse of swelling. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling. Out in Jesus' name. Turn her loose. Turn that woman loose. Curse of swelling, out, out in Jesus' name, out, out, out of that woman in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out, out in Jesus' name, out. Curse of swelling, out, out in the name of Jesus, out in the name of Jesus, out in Jesus' name, out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out, out in Jesus' name, out of Pauline in Jesus' name. Someone pray with that woman, please. Curse of swelling, out. Curse of swelling, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, get out. Out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out. Curse of swelling, swelling, out. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out. Out in the name of Jesus. Rosalie, you need to pray with this woman. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Curse of swelling, out. Out in Jesus' name. Get Ted back and have him renounce it, fellas. Get that fella back and have him renounce it. Curse of swelling, out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Get out of that woman in Jesus' name. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out in the name of Jesus. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling. Get out of these two women in Jesus' name right now. Out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of swelling. Get out of that woman in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.